Chevin, you're dismissed to junior church. If you would like to go to junior church, I don't need this. Is my mic on? Yeah, okay. Adults, you can be rest assured. We took care of your kids all week. We're not going to lose them in those 20 minutes here that I speak. I saw some of you snicker when I said these 20 minutes that I speak. Those are the members. If you were with us on any other Sunday, we would be studying the book of the Bible. Currently, we're in the book of Ephesians. We'd be in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd ask you to turn to that chapter in your Bible. But today, because it's VBS Sunday, and because I wasn't prepared to speak this Sunday because I was fully expecting the missionary to be here, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a few questions. Is there anything in your life that you would like to change? Something about yourself that you would like to change, you've tried to change, it just seems like you can't do it. You know, you just try to muster all that energy. Maybe it's worry. Maybe you're a worrier. And somebody's told you not to worry. And you try not to worry, but it just doesn't work. Maybe you've even taken some medication to help you stop worrying. Or maybe you've gone to see a counselor or a psychiatrist. You want to stop worrying. But you just can't. What about, maybe it's anger. You know, you get angry. You just blow up. You know, verbally. Maybe you throw things. Maybe you hit things. And you know you need a change, but you just seem like you don't have the power to change in and of yourself. Maybe it's an addiction. Something you would like to give up, but you just have such a mastery over your control. You know you shouldn't do it. You've tried many, many times to change it, but you just didn't have the power to change. And maybe it was fear. You're afraid. You're afraid of everything. You're afraid of loud noises. You're afraid of going out in open spaces. Obviously, you're not afraid of that. You're here today. But maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you've gone to see a counselor there as well. Maybe you're taking some medication to help you conquer your fear. You know you need to stop being so fearful, but you just can't seem to curl it. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe you're, by nature, a jealous person. And you know you need to stop being jealous. And you know you need to trust more, but you just can't seem to do it. Maybe you're a complainer. Anybody here ever complain? Maybe you're a liar and you want to stop lying. I noticed that because I know we all complain. Come on, when I say anybody ever complain, you raise your hand. We all complain. You know? Well, today we're going to read a story of a man who wanted to change. It wasn't something inside of him. It was something physically wrong with him. One of the lessons we learned, one of the Bible truths this week, was when you're powerless, Jesus rescues. And when you don't find the power to change in and of yourselves, Jesus rescues. And this man here in Acts chapter 3 was powerless. He could not change himself. But Jesus rescues him. So Acts chapter 3, let's begin reading. I'll read with verse 1. And I always like our congregation to stand while I read in honor of God's holy word. The Bible doesn't tell us we need to stand, but it's a sign of respect, and we're honoring God's holy living word when we do. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Acts. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Once again, this is God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Will you bow your heads with me one more time? Why don't you speak to God right now in the quietness of your own heart? Maybe there's something you're struggling right now and you would like God to change. You, from the inside out. Pray that these next few moments as we examine this passage, God will use His Holy Spirit to give you some perspective. Why don't you do that right now? Precious Heavenly Father, this is your most holy word. It's alive. It's living. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts and divides and goes right to the point, changing us from the inside out by the power of a living in Jesus Christ, Lord. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will do his work in our hearts and lives this morning. Use your word to make us a little bit more like Jesus this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's start studying the text, okay? Verse 1, Peter and John, you know who they were disciples of Jesus Christ. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. Jesus had left. He had died, first of all. He was raised again the third day. And after 40 days, he went up to heaven to be with his Father. And he's sitting today at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But his disciples remained here on earth. And when Jesus went up to heaven, he had promised the disciples something. He says, when I get to heaven, you'll know I'm in heaven because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's another one just like me. And he's going to live in you and he's going to perform in you many of the things that I have done with you. And so he went up to heaven. The Holy Spirit came down and the church was formed. And God continued to work through the disciples and Jesus Christ continued to do what he did on earth through the life of his disciples here on earth, through the church, you and me. And so Peter and John are two of those disciples, and they're going to the temple. They live in Jerusalem. It's like the church. There's a high spot in the city, and they're going to church, and they're going to do what? Why are they going to the temple? What does the text tell us? What are they going to do? They're going to pray. It says that's the ninth hour. The ninth hour would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jewish day began at 6, it ended at sundown, 6 o'clock. The ninth hour would be not 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This beggar, this cripple, he had legs. They just didn't work very well. In fact, this is a Steve Wyatt joke. Okay, I heard it. Okay? This is the story of the cripple who asked for alms, but he got legs instead. Okay. Ash. Come on. Tell me you got it. Okay? Okay. It's just not that funny, right? Okay. So this cripple had been, the text tells us he had been crippled ever since he was born. And so I don't know how old he was. The text doesn't tell us. We can speculate, but probably from a young boy. Somebody had to carry him. No wheelchairs, nothing like that. Somebody had to carry him. Probably an older man. He'd been there long enough where everybody recognized him. Remember when he's running around praising God? And they go, oh, yeah, isn't that the cripple that was at the gate? And these people, these friends, these family members, lay him down there at the beautiful gate, the gate that gives entrance into the temple. Now, because he was a cripple, he was not allowed by Jewish law and custom to enter into the temple. He could never get into the temple. He could never offer his sacrifice there. He was always standing outside, and as these people would go into the temple to pray and offer their sacrifices, he would lay there and he'd cry out, alms! Alms for the beggar! Alms for the cripple! Have you ever seen a crippled person asking for money? You've seen those guys that are certainly on the side of the road who have the signs, we'll work for food, Our tendency is what? Sort of like, we get tunnel vision, don't we? We sort of don't want to look at them. And that's probably what happened to him. Most people just sort of ran by him. But on this particular day, Peter and John are there, and he's asking for, what, alms. And Peter and John look at him. They stop. And he's not looking at Peter and John. Now, maybe he's ashamed. Maybe he asked like this, alms, alms, alms for the poor. Or maybe, just maybe, you know, he asked so much that when people start walking, he's looking at them, and he knows in his mind, he's thinking, they're not going to give me any money. So he automatically goes to the next group of people that are coming in. You know, he diverts his eyes so quickly. But Peter and John, slow motion. Look at us. John and Peter both said that. So the alms person, what's he thinking? I'm going to get some money today. That's the only thing he could hope for when he went to work in the morning. He never thought that he would get late. He thought, this is my lot in life. I'm never going to change. Perhaps somebody will be merciful and gracious to me today and give me enough money to buy a loaf of bread. That's the most hope that guy could ever muster in the morning. And finally, he has somebody that actually stops and asks him to look at him, and he's thinking, the text tells us, what's he thinking? What does the text tell us? He's thinking what? He's going to get some money. That's what he says. The text tells us he thinks that John and Peter are going to give him money. Remember, he's powerless. He can do nothing for himself. And he's thinking, well, maybe they'll give me some money. For a loaf of bread. Whatever. We know it wasn't a video game. It was something to maintain him. And first words out of Peter and John's mouth are what?
We don't have any gold or silver.
No, I don't have, I'm not going to give you gold or silver. And he's probably thinking, huh? Once again, you know, no hope. I'm powerless. Nothing's going to change in my life. But they said, I'm going to give you something. And what did he give them? He gave him legs that work by the power of Jesus Christ. That's what we learned this week. The same power that God used to raise his son Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that healed that man and gave him life that day. God can do the impossible. God can give a crippled man life. Now, this sermon isn't about physical wealth, prosperity. It's not God making you well. God can do that if he chooses. But at that particular time in the history of the world, God gave special men, they were called prophets, they were called apostles, the power to heal the sick, to cure the sick. Those apostles and prophets no longer exist. God can still cure, but he uses what? He uses medicine oftentimes. He uses our prayers as well. But this message isn't about that. This message is about God rescuing the powerless. He can do that through the power that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this man, what does he do? He says, rise up and walk. He says, I can't rise up and walk. Are you kidding me? You know, if I could have rise up and walk, I would have gotten up 20 years ago. I can't get up and walk. I'm powerless to do that. And so Peter knows that, and so he extends his hand. The guy's on the ground, he extends his hand, he begins to pull him up, right? And as soon as he began pulling up, the text tells us what happened. What happened? His ankles and his feet became strong. He felt for the first time in his life strength in his ankles and his feet, and he stands up on his own. This is an act of faith to him, for him to extend his hand to Peter. And he begins not only to walk, what does the text tell us? He began to leap. And began to what? Praise God. And where's the first place he went? Where did he go? He went to the temple. He could have never gotten in the temple before. He wasn't permitted to. But now that he's whole, now that he's healed, he can run into the temple, into the presence of God, and say, I'm whole by the power of God. He's praising God. He's praising God for God's miraculous work in his life. He was an outsider. But because of God's power in his life, he became an insider. And we've been learning about that in Ephesians as well. So let's make some applications. Okay? I asked you, first of all, Is there an issue in your life that you would love to change, but you just don't seem to have the power? You're powerless to change it. First of all, an issue that all of us have faced at one time in our life. We, as individuals, are powerless to save ourselves from the wrath of God. God is angry at us. Did you know that? And He's angry at us because of our sin. Sin angers God. But not only is God angry at us, He is also what? Loving us. He loves us. And so He provided a way for us to deal with our sins. We couldn't deal with it on ourselves. We were powerless to take away our sin. We couldn't. We fall down wrong things. We could not take our sin away. But God can take our sin away through the blood of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And if you today confess that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was enough for you to satisfy the wrath of God against your sins, the Bible says that if you repent of your sins and ask Him into you, and you believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, you become His child. You can't, let me say it again, you cannot save yourself. You can't. It's impossible. You could not do enough good things to turn God's wrath away from you. You couldn't. You could go to church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that would not be good enough for God. The only thing good enough for God was the sacrifice of His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. And He did it for you and for me. That's the only thing that saves you. And if you have not asked God to forgive your sins, you can do that right now. And you can be like that lame man. You can leave here praising God for new life in Jesus Christ. Why don't you bow your heads, all of you. And you can say something like this in the quietness of your own heart. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize I don't have enough power. I don't have enough goodness in myself to save myself from your wrath. Thank you, dear God, for loving me and sending Jesus Christ to die in my place. Forgive me. Give me eternal life. Fill my heart with praise this morning for saving me. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. And the Word of God says that if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have become His child. I'm not saying that. I don't have the power to say that. God knows what's in your heart. Second thing, application. Do you know somebody? Are you acquainted with somebody? A family member, a neighbor, a friend who has not been changed by the power of God, has not been saved, has not repented of their sin and believed in Jesus Christ. Do you know somebody like that? Can you save them? No, you're powerless. You can't save anybody. Who can save your friend, your family member? Who can? Jesus. When you're powerless, Jesus saves. And so we need to pray right now for those people that we know that haven't bowed their knee to God and then entrusted their lives to Jesus Christ. We need to pray and say, dear God, the same way you saved me, change their heart. Can God change a sinner's heart? Yes or no? Yeah. Does a person have to be good to God to have God change their heart? No. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was a blasphemer. He was on his way to a city to kill Christians. That was his heart. And on the way to the city where he was going to kill Christians and put them in prison, God changed his heart. From one moment to the next, God can do it. The same resurrected power that raised Jesus from the dead can change a hard heart and make it soft. God can rip out our heart of stone, and in its place He can put a heart of flesh. And we need to pray. We need to get on our knees, and we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our grandchildren. that they grow up to love Jesus. And if you don't do that, please start today. Pray. God, change my children's heart. Asking you, first of all, pray what? God, change my heart. Now, in a real practical sense, remember some of those things we talked about at the beginning of the sermon? Areas in your life that you would like to change. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's ungratefulness. Maybe it's the addictions that you deal with. Can God give you the power to change those things? Yes or no?
Yes,
you can. Most of us think like this. My problems are outside of me. You know, my problems with my wife, my problems with my kids, my problems with my boss, my problems with the society in which I live in, the problems with the house I live in, the car I drive. Our problems are always somebody else's problem. And the only way to resolve the problem is what? Inside of me. I need to learn to love myself more. I need to learn to forgive myself. I need to do all these things. And then I'll get better. You've heard that. Maybe people have told you that. That's not the way it works with God's economy. You know what the Bible says? Our problems always begin right here. They always begin in my heart. I'm a worrier because I'm a worrier. I love the things I love because I want the things I want. And if I don't get them, I'll start worrying. My problems always end here. The solution is outside of me in the person of Jesus Christ. The beggar recognized that. He asked for alms. I can't do it by myself. Help me out! And he got help that day. Far beyond he even imagined. And so if there's areas in your life that you would really like to change, I would encourage you to start praying. Dear God, change me by your power. God can do it. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it's over a process of a lifetime. But God has promised through his word that he will use the gospel, which is the power of God, to save us, not only from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin in our life. God can do that. Let me reassure you with that this morning. Sometimes we need perspective. Sometimes we need help. And let me encourage you that at this church, we want to help you. And so if there's an area in your life that you would like to change, but you just don't know how, and you pray about it, come talk to me. And we'll open up God's Word and we'll help you through these difficult times in your life. It might be in a marriage. It might be in raising children. There might be all kinds of issues that you would like help in. Come talk to me. I'd love to help you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to come alongside of you and show you in God's Word the immeasurable great power of God that is working in your favor. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your Word. Thank you for this true story about a man who went to the temple in the morning hopeless, helpless, powerless. And he left praising God because of your great power working in his favor. Lord, I pray, just like Paul prayed, that we would experience or that the eyes of our eyes would be open to the immeasurable great power of Jesus Christ that is always at work within us. And that by your grace, Lord, you would change us. Change us from sinners to your children. Change areas that we know we need to change, Lord, by removing the fear and the doubt. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to use this word in our hearts this morning to encourage us in the things of the Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.